Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. And as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, I was sharing some comments about the Song of Solomon. And scholars direct us to an understanding that that book can be applied in different applications, if you will, different subjects. And the first one is that of the love of a man and woman. Of course, it talked about Solomon and the Shunammite. So that is the first application, if you will. And then it's also a description of Israel and Jehovah God. That's dispensationally a way of looking at it. Doctrinally, for us in the New Covenant, the Church of Jesus Christ, it's Jesus and His body. And then, of course, spiritually, there is a great relevance and significance and application for our personal relationship with the Lord and each individual soul. And it's beautiful in all its aspects. So when the Shulamite woman was speaking to her lover, she assured him that she did not want anything to come and rob them of this new and precious love, this beautiful intimacy which was theirs. And then, as she spoke to him, she remembered that one of her tasks in the vineyard to which she had to return until he came back for her was to set traps in the springtime to catch the little foxes. And the little foxes that destroy the vine, you remember that? Because those little foxes would take the blossom from the vines. And of course, the loss of the blossom would mean the loss of fruit. And so how does that speak to us today? Well, it talks about the little foxes speak of sin and things that so easily beset us, if you will, that would rob us of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So I trust it's very familiar, but I'd like to read to you a familiar passage of Scripture found in the book of Galatians, where it talks about, it delineates what the fruit of the Spirit is. This is the King James Version. Chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Praise God. Now, as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, what would be the opposite? What sin would be the opposite of love? Well, we know from the Word of God that perfect love casts out fear. So fear spoils love. It is he that is fearful is not made perfect in love. And what about joy? Well, obviously, although we can have an unhappiness in our lives, there still should be a deep, abiding joy. Sorrow has the capacity, if we let it, to destroy that joy. And what about peace? Well, hatred, war banishes peace. Conflict in relationships will destroy peace. Any number of things that would cause anxiety or offense or anger, those things are going to rob us of our peace. And so we have to safeguard these precious fruit, if you will, so we can walk in the blessing of God, that He wants us to be free. He wants us to have that abundant life. What about long-suffering? Well, long-suffering, what's the opposite of that? Impatience. Our God is long-suffering with us, is he not? He's very patient and kind. And, of course, gentleness. Well, what's the opposite of gentleness? Hardness or harshness. And it's possible to become harsh in words or in action, and that is in opposition to the character of Jesus. When we talk about all those aspects of the fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that's what Jesus is like. And that's what we are called to be like. We've been talking this week about coming into our destiny, coming into the fullness and perfection of Christ. And what about goodness? Well, obviously, evil takes away goodness. There's so much of that in the world, but it's possible that we could allow evil thoughts, evil action, evil behavior, evil words to take away the goodness that is a very aspect of Christ's nature and character. And what about faith? Well, obviously doubt, the sin which does so easily beset us. And God does not, doubt is sin. These are all the opposite aspects of what the fruit of the Spirit is. And well, what about meekness? Well, obviously pride. That's humility. Meekness is humility. Pride or arrogance, that would dispel the meekness of Christ. It said when he was persecuted, when he was under the terrible ridicule and the physical beatings, he didn't open his mouth. He said not a word. Amazing. To the point that, for example, Pilate just wondered that he had the power to release him, to give him life or death. And he would not defend himself. He said his kingdom was not of this world. Why did he come? To bear witness to the truth. And then temperance, well, that's a lack of self-discipline, self-control. It's an excess of passion in anything, whether it's, no matter what it is, regarding anything of the flesh. So our heart's desire should be to please our Lord, who is our bridegroom. And if we will do that, we will experience the blessings of God, beloved. Not that we should be seeking him. And as we seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, that all these other things, all the things we have for our natural life, will be added to us. And what I'd like to do in the final moments of the broadcast, I would like to read, and this is from the Amplified Version, all of Psalm 112. I believe these are words that we need to hear, and this is the portion of a man or a woman, of course, who reveres and worships the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:18 states, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain manner of life received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And so, beloved, let's just share what this psalm has to say. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man who fears or reveres and worships the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His offspring, and that could be natural or spiritual, shall be a mighty one upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Prosperity and welfare are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. This is a beautiful promise, beloved. If you feel you're walking in a valley place right now, light arises in the darkness. Generally, valleys tend to be fairly dark. Light arises in the darkness for the upright, gracious, compassionate, and just, who are in right standing with God. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. See, this is referring not just to our spiritual life, but our natural life. It goes on in verse 6, he will not be moved forever. The uncompromisingly righteous, what does that mean? It means that you don't, in every situation, you will, with all of your heart, attempt to do the right thing that God would have you to do, according to his statutes, according to his commands. And so he will not be moved forever, the uncompromisingly righteous, the upright in right standing with God shall be in everlasting remembrance. This is another powerful scripture. So let me share it with you. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. That relates to what we've just been sharing. Faith is destroyed by fear. And it's possible, especially the world we're living in, to be fearful of evil tidings. His heart is firmly fixed, trusting, leaning on, and being confident in the Lord. His heart is established and steady. He will not be afraid while he waits to see his desire upon his adversaries. Vengeance is the Lord's, and he will repay. He's a God of justice. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor and needy. His righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God endures forever. His horn shall be exalted in honor. And we certainly see this in the world today, because there are so many wicked, those who walk in iniquity, but a time is coming when justice is going to be accomplished. The Lord will right every wrong. The final verse, verse 10, says, the wicked man will see it and be grieved and angered. He will gnash his teeth and disappear in despair. The desire of the wicked shall perish and come to nothing. Hallelujah. But our desire, beloved, those who are in right standing with God, shall be fulfilled. Those who delight themselves in the Lord and walk uprightly before him, no good thing will God withhold from them who walk uprightly. I think that's a beautiful thing to end the scripture, the broadcast on, and this week's worth of ministry. I love you. I invite you to write, share your prayer needs. I pray for you daily. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.